let's do one thing on Monday that will change. Not everything, just one thing. Mm-hmm. And then watch that compound. And just like with compounding interest, if you have investments or anything like that, you continue to, it eventually becomes quite exponential. But it doesn't have to, you know, it's, you don't have to start up here. We can get up there. It's just like taking that lower, slower approach.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what we mean by, well, that is really what the power of habits is, right? Is
yeah.
that they compound like that, that when you set the trajectory. So one thing we talk about in Ovi, and our resident psychologist Sophia talks about, is setting yourself, like, she uses the compass metaphor, which mm-hmm. is kind of knowing where you're heading, knowing yeah. like, who is it, that kind of that person that you want to embody, or like who you want to be, like.
Hi, I'm Claire Goodwin, and this is the PCOS Nutritionist Podcast. I have PCOS too, and I know how hard it can be to get the help you need. So I bring together my expertise as a registered nutritionist and exercise scientist, together with other experts I trust and people with real-life lived experience of PCOS, to help you get the information you need to make a real difference to your symptoms.
I'm super excited to announce the release of our new PCOS management app, Ovi. As someone who has PCOS, I saw firsthand how much hyper-personalized tweaks to my lifestyle had a dramatic impact on solving my PCOS symptoms. And as a registered nutritionist and exercise scientist, I saw the same effect for many of my patients. But I also saw that only seeing me once a month or even every few weeks just didn't work for most people. Changing what we eat, how we move, and sometimes the very essence of who we are, like being a perfectionist, is really tricky. And in order to see real change, we need constant support and reinforcement. And we also need tools like recipes, workouts, and cheat sheets right in our pocket. So when we're in the midst of standing in the supermarket aisle, we know what to choose to help support our changes. My PCOS protocol group program was an amazing start in helping to achieve this, but I knew we could do way better. I knew that we could get even more personalized, convenient, and provide an elevated user experience for you. So this is why I created Ovi, to give you your personalized PCOS pathway that's based off your symptoms and your goals, right in your pocket so that you can access it at any time. And not just created by me, but by an incredible team of nutritionists, psychologists, physiotherapists, exercise physiologists, and more. So head over to our website, ovi.io, to take the questionnaire and find out what's driving your PCOS, or what I've formally referred to as your PCOS root cause. We can't wait for you to be part of the Ovi community.
Right, so today we're talking all about how to manage your PCOS forever. And this, I think, is really important to talk about, because so much of what we hear is like tools and tactics, especially things around like 8-week transformations and like diet plans and stuff like that. And the research is so clear. It is almost meaningless what we do for 12 weeks. What really is important is what we do for like months and years. And I can personally say, from being sort of 10 years into this journey now, that is absolutely true. And it actually gets way easier, not just because I've got the habits formed, but also it's kind of this compounding effect of years and years of improved insulin resistance, improved stress hormones. Actually, my body's way more resilient to changes than what it used to be. So this is, I think, just so important to understand and to really start to think about, rather than just these short-term improvements, but really what I can do. And it's quite hard. I know, speaking to Jamie, do you remember talking here with Emma today, and we're going to be talking about this together. But do you remember in Jamie's podcast, she was like, I remember hearing you on the podcast and thinking, I'm never going to be able to stick with something for life. Yeah. Because I can't even stick to that 12-week program, or I can't even stick to, you know, like that one habit change for any more than a few weeks. So how am I ever going to stick something to life? And so I think that it's like really important to understand that you might be feeling like that at the moment, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that you can't change some habits long term once you actually realize that they don't have to be such extreme changes. That's probably why you haven't been able to keep up with them in the past, or because you haven't actually fixed that underlying thing that is actually driving you to like eat those foods or feel that way.
I think that's so right. I think that the biggest misconception is that to be healthy, you have to be 100% healthy. You have to be all in, and it needs to happen all together, all at once, and everything needs to be overhauled, everything needs to be changed. So I think that's like the first biggest misconception as well. And then even if you're doing all of those things and you're still not seeing results, then of course you're not going to be able to stick with it either, because there's no reward factor for doing, putting in that hard work. So why, you know, if you got to 6 weeks and you still haven't seen any change, why would you keep going with this complete overhaul of your life, which is hard, you have to work at very hard every day, if you're not getting any results out of it anyway? So I think that's why, you know, that it can be really hard to even kind of consider how you'd be able to do something long term and stick with it. Yeah,
totally. Or that something that's sustainable could actually work. Like, I know, so we'll link Jamie's podcast in the episode, but it's such a good one. She's so real and raw and honest about her journey. And her, one of her specific symptoms was weight gain. And so she was used to doing a lot of these, like, you know, she'd done a lot of really intense dieting, like HCD, 500 calorie diet. And it was those ones that she saw improvement in her weight, but they weren't, she wasn't able to stick to them, and the weight would always kind of bounce back. But when she did more moderate things, like working with a personal trainer and eating well, nothing would change.
Yeah.
And so she was listening to these podcasts being like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get how you could do something that's not so extreme and actually see improvements. And then I don't get how you could actually maintain extreme changes for your life. So I think that's the biggest things that people, a lot of people that would struggle with, is seeing that that's how is this actually a thing.
Yeah, completely. And so I think we have to kind of think about it as like, we're in this body for life. Like, we, if you look at what you're doing now and you're someone who is exercising more than 6 times a week, you're eating, having to like really work hard to restrict your diet down quite a lot, and then you're trying to run everything else and still be the best person for everyone, it's like, can you keep that pace up in another 10 years and in another 10 years? And what if you don't have kids now and then you bring in kids? Can you still keep that up? And is that how you really want to live your life? Like, does it feel like punishment, or does that feel enjoyable? And I think we really need to just look at it and be like, how do I want freedom and flexibility with my lifestyle, or do I want to continue to punish myself? And so I think it's like, consider it like the low and slow approach rather than the hard and fast approach to better health. And, you know, it's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. Like, the tortoise wins at the end of the day. Yeah.
We all know that story. But it is so hard, especially when you have done more like moderate things and you haven't seen any change. Whether that's in like facial hair growth, or whether it's in like acne. And so you then,
especially in weight.
Yeah, especially in weight. I think that's a big one. Or especially in like periods coming back as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, it's natural. It's kind of a natural inclination to be like, well, if this doesn't work, I need to go harder. As opposed to, well, if this doesn't work, maybe it's just not quite right. Maybe I was on the right track, but I just needed to stick with it for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Because when we change something, we want to see like instant results. It's only natural, but it's also not particularly, it is quite counterproductive, because actually so much of the time we are actually on the right track. We just haven't given our body enough time to actually go and make that change.
Yeah. And so I think as well, like with the low and slow change and those moderate changes, we really need to look at taking it stepwise as well. I think it's really hard to be like, there's that old quote, diet starts on Monday, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you dread it, and then it feels like a shift in lifestyle, and then everything has to change come Monday. You know, you have to throw all of the bad foods out of the house and everything needs to be perfect and clean come Monday. And I think what we really teach and what we really want everyone to understand is that it doesn't have to be that way. There's no deep end you need to dive in. Think about it more like compounding things. So like, let's do one thing on Monday that will change. Not everything, just one thing. Mm-hmm. And then watch that compound. And just like with compounding interest if you have investments or anything like that, you continue to, it eventually becomes quite exponential. But it doesn't have to, you know, it's, you don't have to start up here. We can get up there. It's just like taking that lower, slower approach.
Yeah. And that's absolutely what we mean by, well, that is really what the power of habits is, right? Is that they compound like that, that when you set the trajectory. So one thing we talk about in Ovi and our resident psychologist Sophia talks about is setting yourself, like she uses the compass metaphor, which is kind of knowing where you're heading, knowing like who is it, that kind of that person that you want to embody, or like who you want to be, like what is that? Does that person, are they the kind of person that goes out for a walk in the weekend, meets friends for a walk, and like maybe they go for a, like a bike ride, or are they the person that is also really excited about eating fresh and healthy foods and vegetables, or the person that only eats them like out of dread and then hopes that they can just get back to eating like burgers and pizza? Like that's the kind of like, you know, like where you're heading. And then it's all about making towards moves towards that person that you want to be, rather than I've got to be that person tomorrow. That's like totally not achievable. And actually what we're doing by that is we're setting ourselves up for life either on the wagon or off the wagon, which is what I have previously said. I've heard so many of our patients saying, it's like, oh, I've fallen off the wagon. Whereas if you're just taking a towards move, it's just, you know, like you're not, it's not all or nothing. It's like you can still make small steps even when life's not perfect. And that's what I love about it, is that it doesn't, it's like, you know, my family's sick. Okay, cool. What's the best choice that I could make at the moment in the hospital while seeing my grandfather who's there? Like, what's the best thing I could do? How could I make this a great situation, as opposed to just being like, oh, well, stuff it. The diet's ruined because I don't have everything perfect, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to eat whatever I can, and then I'll start it next week or next month.
Yeah, I think that's so, you like touched on it there, but it's like, we don't leave university and expect to be the CEO the next day. You know, like it's very well accepted in every other facet of life that you have to train or work hard and put in the hours to get there. Same with like if you want to do a marathon, you have to do the training. But for some reason we hold ourselves, and whether it's around body image or around, you know, we hold these things, we hold ourselves being perfect as like something that we should be able to have tomorrow. We don't allow ourselves that time to train and work towards it and build up to being that person. It's not a like a direction that we're headed. It should just be there tomorrow, you know? And we make ourselves feel really bad if we're not there 24/7. But yeah, I think it's all about like understanding and giving ourselves a bit more grace that it can take time to get to that place and to be the person that you want to be. But what can we do today to start getting you on that road? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what Sophia talks about, the small steps, right? Yeah. Which I think is such a great analogy, because it, it really just takes your, switches your brain off from thinking about like, I have to do this all perfectly, to, okay, things might not be, circumstances might not be perfect, but so long as I'm kind of starting to still continuing towards that, then again, it just like, it compounds that the momentum of that. It's kind of like a flywheel. Whereas if you feel you're constantly kind of like stop, start, on, off, I think that what people don't realize is how much of a mental toll that takes on us when we feel like a failure.
Yeah.
And that actually takes us back multiple steps.
Like flings us back off the flywheel. Yeah.
100%. It's like a catapult, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just takes so much longer then to start that, try and get that flywheel of motivation. And probably every time we do that as well, it like gradually kind of erodes our self-esteem there too. So, and this is what we were talking about it the other week. We did a podcast on kind of trends. And like what trends we're liking and what trends we're not. And this is why I don't love the 75 hard, because I think it just like really emphasizes that you have to do something every single day for 75 days. And if you don't, you've failed. And like the effect that would have on people in terms of like sending them backwards, the majority of time anyway, when they complete the 75 days, they're so, you know, they might be so overwhelmed or highly unlikely to just continue on doing that. And so actually it takes you then a huge, a lot of steps back to then be able to get back on that to go forward again.
Yes, completely. And I think I see this as well a wee bit on TikTok too, lots of runners being like, this is my 759th day of running every day. And I'm like, you know what? Also a towards move would be having a rest day so that your performance can improve the next day. And you know, or if you ran 5 days a week, that's impressive and incredible. But, you know, holding yourself to this standard of running every day, you know, you've obviously, I hope your mental health is okay as well in the sense that you feel like you have to drag yourself out every single day, or that now that you've got this streak, you can't lose it.
Yeah.
And I think that's, and I hope if you do take a day off in future that you won't beat yourself up about it either.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, if that's you and that's working for you, great. But I just think that the majority of people that does not work for. And
like you said, if somebody's in hospital and you can't get out for a run that day, you know, like life always throws you curveballs and you just need to be able to absorb them rather than in face of them.
Yeah absolutely. By setting, so towards moves, maybe do you want to explain a bit about what towards moves are?
A towards move is basically making a step in the direction that you want to go. So that might be something like, I want to be a happy, healthy mum. So that could be a step in that right direction, is taking a rest day when I feel like my body needs it. Or I'm on a prenatal journey, so I'm going to be taking my prenatal health care, and that's a towards move. You know, I'm every day that I'm taking that, that's putting more nutrients into my body that my baby can have as well. But if I miss a day, it's not a big deal. I can just continue to make those towards steps tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's not like, oh my God, I failed because I don't take my supplements every single day. It's like the, and I think that's this is exactly how the body works. It doesn't just be like, oh, we didn't get any folate today, so no neural tube. It's like, oh no, we've got that store of folate. It's fine. It's just like keeping that store up there. So
yeah, exactly. I think that's the best way to look at it, is like, you've got a bucket of folate in your body, like a bucket of apples, and every day that you take the supplement, you put that in there, and there might be a hole at the bottom that's coming out, or a horse might be coming and eating one day. I don't know. This is, our analogy is getting really out of the gate. But then if you don't put that folate into the bucket and that horse comes and eats it one day, that's totally fine. There's still quite a few, you know, apples in that bucket. But it's if you, you know, consistently, if you felt like because you hadn't taken it once, oh, it's all failed, eventually, you know, that bucket of apples will deplete. But if you continue to just keep putting that in there, then it'll keep. Gosh, that was a weird analogy. Sorry about that one, everyone.
No, you're totally right. You're totally right. It's a perfect analogy. And I think that maybe we get that when it comes to supplements. We're like, oh, well, if we didn't take it one day, we'll just start taking it the next day. Rationally, I think that a lot of people can do that. But it's really interesting that so many of us can't do that when it's things like a food change, especially.
Yes.
We have that
ability to be like, yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, I can take a supplement. Oh, I forgot myself from yesterday. There might not be shame or guilt around that. But when it comes to food or eating, if I had a day where I missed having my protein breakfast, or I missed doing this, or I had pizza instead of, you know, a salad for dinner or whatever, there's shame and guilt attached to that. And then that's what sets off the spiral of, you know, that's what catapults you off the flywheel.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it's like something that's out of your control. Like someone's in hospital and there's literally nothing else to eat but from the vending machine. And you're like, cool. So I had a packet of chips for dinner because that's all I could get. And it's like, oh, well. Tomorrow's a new day. Okay, I'm going to try and stop off at the supermarket on my way to the hospital tomorrow, so I've got a few snacks and do a few things. Instead of treating it as a learning exercise and reinforcement what we might need to do next, we instead take that as a massive failure. And so that's really what turning your mindset into towards moves is all about, is going, okay, what are the other things that I could do to maybe make a towards move today? So maybe food is not the thing that's in my control, but could I go for a bit of a walk around, while, you know, my family member's sleeping or something like that? Could I get outside and do a walk? And that's going to be the towards move that I make today. Or if possible, could I get a good night's sleep? or what other things could I do to still make those towards steps that might be in my control? Even if it's walking up and down the stairs in the hospital, like just when I, you know, if I go down to the cafe to get them something, instead of taking the lift, I take the stairs. Like small things that you can still do that are actually, they're not only, it's not necessarily as important about like what impact that's having on your health, but it's more about that momentum thing, I think.
Yeah.
And that getting out of those like, being on the wagon or off the wagon.
Yeah, and that it has to be 100% to be on the wagon. You're only granted access on the wagon if you're doing things 100%. I think as well as this, like, you might be thinking, okay, well, there's towards moves, but there's also away moves. And so, like, is that packet of chips that I had for dinner at the hospital an away move? And it's like, yes, it is an away move, but you might have done, you know, I think two steps forward, one steps back. You're still going in the right direction. And, you know, if you did get out and go for a walk, or you were able to do a few other things that day, you're still actually going in the right direction. Also, I think we're using something like, this is a bit of a curveball in life. And so yes, for 1 week you might have, you know, you might, there might be a few more away steps than you would normally have, but that doesn't mean that you can't turn it around and move back, start making towards moves back as soon as, you know, that might settle down or things like that. I think it's about taking away the 100% perfectionism element and just knowing that one or two steps the other way isn't going to derail my progress, and I can always continue to make those forward steps in the days to come.
Yeah. And I think that what's probably quite important to do is doing some thinking about, like, how do I naturally, what would my natural reaction be? Like, am I the kind of person that does think like that, that does think, oh, well, diet screwed, I'll just eat whatever and I'll start again Monday. Like, if that's been your modus operandi, then this is going to be even more important. And if you've got that, you know, really ask yourself, like, okay, really, how do I feel about that? And if you do feel like that, oh my God, I've failed, then how could we turn that around to be like, okay, no, this is just life. Actually, Lily, who, will, again, we'll link her podcast, but she was a patient who did a podcast with us, and she said something really profound. She was like, I've, during this journey of like really understanding my health and creating these great habits, I have realized that there is no wagon to be on or off. And actually, life is the road. Like, there is no wagon. We're just on the road. And sometimes there'll be a diversion, and sometimes there'll be a motorway we can go faster. And sometimes there'll be a rickety old road that we have to take slower. But we are just always, we're just on the road. And so there isn't like a falling off or falling on the wagon. It's just we continue on that road. And that's what we really, I think, is a good analogy, that you, the like the compass is where you're heading. It's the direction. You might be going to the beach and you're on the road, and that you are just making those towards moves towards the beach. And sometimes there'll be a diversion. And so you make a, you know, like as you said, two steps forward, but one step backwards. But you are continually on that road.
Yeah, that's the direction that you're heading in.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. And I think if, as well, you're that person who, like you were saying before, that's like your first instinct is to be like, oh, well, you know, I've ruined everything. There's that, again, in OV, Sophia talks us through some really interesting, powerful psychology understandings, I think. And she talks us about how we as humans, it's in our like natural instinct to ruminate on things. It's a survival tactic. We get hooked on our thoughts, and they ruminate and ruminate in our head, and they are often the most unhelpful ones that do. And so there's a lot of work in OV that happens when you first jump into the app. It's kind of in the first few lessons around learning what these thoughts look like and learning how to unhook from these hooked thoughts to help you change your mindset around that as well. And I think habit change is really hard, and having those tools to understand your brain and why, what are the roadblocks for you and how can you get around those, is really important.
Yeah, definitely, because it's all very well to just be like, you've got to stop thinking about the wagon and but if you've had 20 years of your life where your brain has been like, you're a failure, like, look at all of these diets that you failed at, you're never going to succeed, then you know, like it's going to be a struggle for you to even like maybe make it like a new change, or as soon as something happens, like something's out of your control, like a family member is sick or you are away for work for the week or something, then you're going to, that's going to, your brain's then going to go, see, look, you're a failure. These other people, they're successful. They also have family that's sick. They also go away for the week. Why can they still maintain their improvements and you can't? You're a failure. And that is what your brain will come back to. It's really learning how to unhook from those, that spiral of thoughts, so that you're not getting that message that will then lead you into the, okay, screw it then, I'm just going to eat whatever.
Yeah,
completely. If I'm a failure already, I might as well continue to be a failure.
Completely. So yeah, in OV, you kind of, we work through with you and Sophia works through with you, understanding how your brain is working so that you can work with it, not against it. Once we've kind of got through that in those first few days, then we jump into our first change. And this is how OV works. We don't give you everything on day one. We give you one change to focus on. And I think this is one of the most important things that we've seen with habit change, is that start small and have focus on one thing, and that's what's going to make it really successful.
And this is only because we've had this experience over the last like decade, right? We actually, like when I first got into working with PCOS, I did exactly the opposite. I gave them all the change at the start and then wondered why on earth it didn't work. I was like, but this is what you need to do.
I
like,
told you all the things.
Yeah, I told you all the things. I gave you the answer. I gave you the plan. And like, and it was only through wisdom and experience of seeing that that did not work for 90% of people that I then realized that, okay, we need to do something different here. And that's where this like habit stacking has come from in my journey. Kind of before I read a lot of other books like Atomic Habits by James Clear, who talks about it in there as well, but realizing that actually we need to start and focus on one thing, and ideally the most important thing, the thing that we're going to see the most change with first, and then give time to actually just do that one thing.
Because I think, like, even though it might sound like change of breakfast sounds like a pretty simple change, it's not. You need to go to the grocery store, get the right ingredients, even understand how to make something or how that might taste.
Yep.
You might even need equipment to do some of that. Like, and then you need to get into the habit of actually doing that daily. And all of that takes a bit of time, right? And understanding, well, what builds a really good breakfast for me and what does that look like? So there's a bit of learning in there. There's a bit of prep involved. And then there's actually starting to make the change and then really focusing on making that change consistently to then know that actually now I do this a bit more mindlessly because it's becoming a bit more of a habit. It's no longer I have to think about it because now I've done the working out, I've done the thinking, and now it sort of happens mindlessly. And that is why we see it so important to give just this one change, this first change, enough time for you to really lay that foundation down as a habit, make it more of an autopilot task so it frees up brain space for you because you're no longer actively thinking about or stressing or trying to figure out what you're going to have for breakfast and how that's going to look. It becomes a bit more, I don't know, just an innate habit. Just like originally when we were kids, making a piece of toast was hard. Like we had to learn how to do that. We had to figure out how to get the bread into the toaster, toast it, you know,
how to get it out of the toaster without burning your fingers.
Yeah, just so many things.
And
now we do that autopilot, right? Because it's just something that we now know and we don't even think about it. But it's the same with any other habit. It's just about learning what works best for you and how to implement that and how to make it quite mindless. So then all of a sudden it is a natural habit that you do as opposed to something you have to force yourself through every day.
Yeah. So that's probably a good point because a lot of people might be thinking, well, then why don't you just give me a meal plan and I just follow that meal plan? And then it's like, I don't have to think about it. It's easy.
Yeah. Well, completely. But it's like, it needs to fit you. It needs to be personalized to you and you need to adapt it, I think, to what works best for you. And I think, yes, I've said like that's one option, but there might be like two or three options in there for breakfast that you rotate, or you might be a person who likes to have that daily. I'm not sure. But it's very personalised anyway.
What works for me is highly unlikely to work for
you.
We eat completely differently.
Quite differently, yeah.
And we work in exactly the same office. We live in the same city. Like, we're very similar in other aspects, but in terms of like what we eat, completely different.
Completely different, yeah.
And so you'd say, well, you're both like, we're probably so much more similar than other people And still that what I would eat does not work for you.
Yeah. And so I think, how can we sit here and be like, well, you need to copy what? Yeah. Well, which one? Who would you copy? Yeah. Like, well, would you eat Claire's way or my way? Or like, what works right? We know that every person is different. So it's about giving you that time to figure out what's best for you and what works best with your morning. You know, you might have a different looking morning. Someone else who works from home and has lots of time to cook a breakfast versus someone who starts their work early or has a kid's school run or anything like that. So it's about figuring out what works for you, but taking that knowledge of how to build the right breakfast for you and then applying that to something that you enjoy and is easy for you to implement.
Yeah. And also, like, you want to have the ability to have the knowledge to modify
it. Yeah.
Like, when things is, you know, as we're kind of going back to that, like when things aren't perfect, or, you know, like you might be at someone's house or like away. Or
traveling. I think that's a big one is like, yeah, you might be staying in a hotel and you no longer have your blender to make your smoothie, which you're really used to. So how are you going, you know, that's your only tool to, you know, get you your protein. But what we want to teach you is, well, there's other ways. Or if you're going out for breakfast, what's a breakfast that you could create off a menu or order off a menu that would fit some of those goals? And it's kind of like, teach a man to fish, he'll be fed for life. Yep. Give a man a fish, he fed himself with that meal. Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's like that again, there's towards moves. If we set you up with a meal plan and say, eat this, when life throws you a curveball and you're not able to do that, then you're going to be like, oh, well, I fell off the wagon.
Or like, how can I make a towards move if I can't prep the meal that was on my meal plan?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If there's no other, if it's just that one, there's no way where I could be like, oh, well, I could
go to the cafeteria and order something that looks like this, or pick that meat there and those veg there and that carb there. And I know how to build a balanced plate as opposed to only this recipe meets my criteria or my guidelines.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like also the, okay, well, there's nothing here that's perfect, but I could get 50% of the way.
Yeah.
And realizing again, remembering that that's a towards move and that, yeah, it's actually still better than the alternative, which would be, you know, 0%. So having that freedom, flexibility, be like, cool, it doesn't have to be perfect, but, you know, if I could get some of these things, that would certainly help. And it's going to certainly help how I feel later in the day. So later in the day, I'm less likely to be craving those simple carbs or sugars. And so it's not just about like now, but it's actually also understanding the ramifications of why I'm doing it. And I think that's the other thing about having time to implement one change is that you realize, you understand why that's important to you. You understand now like what's driving your PCOS, what are those things that you really need to focus on. And by really understanding why you're doing what you're doing, you can then make a lot better choices with it as well, because you then go, okay, well, I understand why that's that. So even if I get 50%, that's still actually really good, and it's going to actually still make me feel great later this afternoon.
Yeah, like the why being like, that's the direction I'm going in. So even 50% of a towards move is still a towards move. Yeah,
so it might be like, okay, well, I know that I've got insulin resistance, and I know that having porridge or a full carb breakfast is going to mean my blood sugar is going to go up and down. I'm probably going to then crave like simple sugars and carbs later in the afternoon. That's something I'm struggling with at the moment. And so, okay, well, if I could just add some protein or fat to that porridge, then that's still going to mean that I have less of those symptoms later in the afternoon. Like, great. Okay. And that's where you, when you understand what you're doing, you can actually modify it. Whereas if you just have a meal plan and just you've got to have this shake, then if I don't have the ingredients, I don't have my blender, then I can't do it at all. Therefore, I failed.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do we then build on those? So it's like the habit stacking.
Yeah. So in OV, you get a lesson unlocked daily. So you can move through, it might be a week that you focus on your first change, which might be breakfast. If you're not ready to move on to your next change for whatever reason, you can stay in that module, continue working through it. It's at your own pace. But know that once you've kind of got through that week, your next module will unlock. And this is where we really hope that some of those changes that you've made with that first module have sunk in and they're becoming a little bit more mindless maybe, or you've kind of gotten used to them. And then you'll have the mental capacity to then go on to your next change. And so whilst you're focusing on maybe changing what your lunch looks like or your snacks look like, there's always that undercurrent of your breakfast still happening. So there's that towards move is always happening while you continue to work on your next towards move, quite mindlessly almost. Same thing keeps happening. So then we keep moving through the changes, and as you can see, with each change that we begin to add in daily, there's that compounding amount of changes or towards moves that are happening, because breakfast is already happening and snacks are already happening and lunch is already happening. And it doesn't matter if lunch didn't happen one day, because those other two are still happening underneath. Or, and then we work on the next thing. And over
it might be
time,
like your supplements or your, like what you're doing sleep, to move your body, or yeah, stress management, or whatever it is that's important for your underlying drivers.
Yeah.
That are going to, those are things that are going to compound and help.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we look to with Ovi. And then when you kind of get to the end of these changes, you can always up level from there. But you've got these five or six really important changes for helping you better manage your PCOS drivers. And as you've been working on this over time, that's been compounding. You mean you might not see results even after you've finished this, but you've already built all of these habits that hopefully make you feel better as well. Hopefully you're getting the hang of them. You haven't felt like you've fallen off a bandwagon, because you're still headed in that general direction. And hopefully as well, you've got a bit more flexibility around food if, you know, sugar cravings and things like that were a symptom for you. Maybe some of these food changes have really alleviated that for you as well. And then it doesn't seem like hard work to continue these things. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. But all I can think of was what I heard you say before there, which is you might not have seen changes by now.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Because I've been doing all this work.
Yeah.
I'm just being the devil's advocate of, like, this was me 10 years ago. I'd be like, whoa, hold on. She said I might not have seen any change. Like,
yeah. So you might not see change in the immediate symptoms that you came to kind of focus on, right?
Like with like hirsutism, or like, so these changes, these symptoms are things like acne, hirsutism, getting my period back or more regular, weight.
But then let's come back to, what was the direction that you were headed in? What was your ultimate goal? Was it to be the person that was happy and would find joy in catching up with their friends over coffee in the weekend, or going for a bike ride and feeling, you know, energized enough to do those things? Or is it being a happy, healthy mum? Are you feeling more energized? Mm-hmm. Are you feeling more happy in how your mental health has been, maybe your headspace has been, in terms of you haven't put yourself through feeling like a failure for the last, I don't know, 8 to 12 weeks as you've been working through this coursework? Have you lessened some of those sugar cravings? I think it's that's why we really work with at first forming this direction and what is the place that you're headed to. And it's not to fix my acne. We need to go deeper than that, right? And because those things will come in time, and we do see, you know, things like acne, weight, they are symptoms that take some time of lifestyle change to really see change in. But where we can see after those kind of 8 to 12 weeks is still positive change on the journey. Has it felt hard? Have you felt like you've been punishing yourself through these changes? Does it feel more sustainable? And then keep with that mindset, and know that it's only been, probably by the time you finish the final change, you know, 1 week of having done all of the 6 changes. So let's then see that as kind of like the starting point as well.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where a lot of people say to us, well, how long should I expect to see change? And that is like one of the ones where it's so hard, because I don't want to be this person, but I am going to have to be this person that says, like, it really depends. And that's why we love showcasing on this podcast, like, real life stories of people with PCOS, because you'll hear through their story, them telling it themselves, such a variety of that. Some is like, wow, I made this change within like a month. My periods had returned. It was like, you know, it was really incredible how my body responded to that. Whereas other people will be like I'm just, the podcast that we've discussed before, Lily's one, you'll hear, for example, we'll just discuss one of her symptoms was hidradenitis suppurativa, which is like the really painful, like boils, pimples under with like often in your armpit, groin. For hers, it was under her breast. That probably wasn't like improved until about 6 months after, because she was like, hey, hang on, like I've just realized that these have gone away. Are these a PCOS symptom? And I'm like, yeah, they are. And she's like, oh my God, like these, but it wasn't like within a week,
yeah.
You know, like it took some time.
Yeah.
Even like weight, I remember her saying that, she was like, I didn't lose any weight for 8 weeks and then it started to come off. Like,
and I think we need to see that as well as what, and this is kind of what I talk about a lot with clients, and I think you might have said it before as well, Claire, is like, what we're working on is like a continuum of your PCOS driver, and you might be somewhere along this continuum, and we want to all of the lifestyle changes that we're kind of trying to implement, whether it's stress management or stabilizing your blood sugar or whatever it is, we want to move you back along that continuum, but that can take a bit of time. So for example, if it is your dysregulated blood sugar that's causing you to have more circulating insulin, more circulating insulin then drives more testosterone, which then the testosterone can drive some of these symptoms. So if you think about that process of getting there, it takes a bit of, it's a bit of a cycle of that increasing insulin to increasing testosterone to the symptoms. So then if we think we're trying to move back the other way of trying to decrease the insulin to decrease the testosterone to decrease the symptom, that's going to take a bit of time too. Like, it doesn't, insulin's just not going to be changed overnight. We need to constantly continue to work to dampen that, drive it down. So I think depending on where you started on that continuum is going to be dependent on how much time on the lifestyle change it might take for you to see the results. And so for example, we see some people come in and we might do some insulin, like an insulin assay with them. And some people aren't too far off optimal. So they might have started further along, further back down the continuum than somebody else. Whereas somebody else might have, you know, quite spiking insulin and be quite insulin resistant. They might be up here. So everyone starts on that continuum at a different place. And that is totally fine. But it might just be that for you, we need to work a little bit longer to get that insulin or that those stress hormones down.
Yeah.
We might need to be a bit more radical with some of the changes even. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why we really focus on teaching a man to fish, because like, that's the thing, is if we just gave you a meal plan and we were like, yeah, but you're gonna have to stick with this for a year, like that would be really, really hard. Whereas if it's something that you know how to build yourself from your own likes, then you can much easily stick to that. And that's where you're actually going to see the results. So it's so important to understand. I think the thing is, like, once you understand what's really driving your PCOS, you can then understand how those changes are actually bringing you back towards that, like back along that continuum. And then you can go, okay, I just need to keep going with these and trust that process. And eventually the flywheel of that hormonal spiral will start to reverse and you will start to see improvements in that.
Yeah. Completely. And I think don't discredit the small positive changes that you're seeing along the way just because they're not solving the main symptoms that you want to deal with. Like, tune in to all of those changes that are happening. And I don't know, I think journaling can be a really good tool. Even if you start doing that before you come in to OV, maybe you start with like, this is how I'm feeling, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm struggling with, and this is my mindset. And then do that after a week, do that after 2 weeks. Have these check-ins. We have check-ins in OV as well.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like giving your brain the time and space to reflect on what is actually happening. Do I feel better? Are these changes more sustainable? Am I more energized? All of those things that, unless you actually stop to recognize that these things are happening for you, you probably wouldn't notice if you're blinkered to only seeing that one symptom like acne.
Yeah, definitely. So regardless of what way you do this, whether you work with us and work with OV or you are doing this with someone else or yourself, I think the key things to remember is that make sure that you understand what you're doing and how to modify those changes of whatever comes up in your life, so that you can still continue to make towards moves. Know where you're heading and understand like what your loops or your hooks that are maybe keeping you stuck in that place are at the moment, like the, I'm a failure, I'm on the wagon, off the wagon, and start working towards those and working out how instead you could change that mindset and be unhooked from that and instead go into more the towards moves of where I want to be. And then slowly incorporate those habits. So really, I guess the other thing from a clinical perspective, know where the help and where you're heading is really what's driving your PCOS. So that can help with like, well, where am I going to? What am I trying to achieve here? That I think that's really important. Because without that, you're like,
I could do every change under the sun.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do everything. I've heard, you know, lots of people talk about different things to do for PCOS. And I've like been listening to different podcasts and YouTubes, and I've got myself a list of 20 things that I've talked about that I could do. Well, that's not going to be very helpful because we can't actually implement 20 things into our life. So when you know where you're heading, then we can help you. We can tell you, like, you don't have to decide this. We tell you what the five things are that are going to make the biggest difference. But then, and then help you with those, like the small steps to implement those changes and how to stack them so that you're doing the most important things first.
Yeah. And then we're there along the way as well, where you can check in and, you know, if there's a change or something in the coursework that you're not sure about, you know, there's one of the team, there's a PCOS expert on the other hand to kind of hold you on the other line to help hold your hand and kind of like walk you through those changes. And if you're not seeing how those changes are really modifiable for your life, touch in with the expert and see if they've got some good suggestions maybe of how you can make that more modifiable for you too.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, this is what we do in the PCOS protocol all the time. Someone will be like, oh, I just don't quite get it. Like, this is my schedule. I'm actually on night shift or I work out, and like, I can see, you know, like you've talked about that a little bit, but I still don't see how it fit into my life. Can we work through that? Then, yeah, absolutely. We'll give you some other ideas about how you could modify that. So that's, yeah, it's really important to just reach out if you don't quite understand something. And so, yeah, I think that the biggest thing is just give it a try. Like, you might have all of these reasons why you've failed in the past or something's not worked, but much of that, as we've just talked about, is because you haven't really been set up for success. Yep. A lot of the fitness and wellness industry is about these kind of like short-term plans and programs. And it's because people say to you, like, oh, people can only manage something for 8 weeks. And it's like, yeah, but they actually can manage it for a lot longer than that. But it's just that
if it's enjoyable and easy. Yeah.
You're making it really unrealistic. And so, yeah, they're not going to stick with that for more than 8 weeks. And so that's why so much of the fitness industry is geared towards short-term things, incentives. So instead, just realize that it's not been your fault why something hasn't worked in the past. And it's just about finding what those drivers are for you, what those PCOS drivers, so we can find out where you're heading, where that compass is, and then what are the four or five things that you can do to actually get you to the outcome that you want.
Yeah.
But how to stack them and make them really achievable within your lifestyle, so that it's no longer on the wagon or off the wagon. It's merely a, oh, I could do 50% that week because I all these other things, but you know, I'm back to 80%. And that's the thing too, we never ask for 100%. We're like, 80-20 is fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's more than enough.
And I think this is like, this is a completely personal opinion, but I see Ovi and the lifestyle changes that you're making there as like adding in, or really positive and really, I feel like they're nourishing like a hug. Whereas like, I view 8 week programs like a cold, dark, bleak, lonely, kind of excluding, restrictive mindset in place. And I think if you're like Jamie, who has done a bunch of these and failed at them and found it really punishing, and are like, well, how do I even know that OV or the PCOS nutritionist is going to work for me? What if it's just another one of these things? I think this is just me personally saying it has a different feel and it has a different approach. Like, it genuinely feels like you add more. You often, we say you actually need to eat more, and this is actually going to help you, and you need to exercise less in a lot of cases as well, or change the way that you're exercising to slow it down. And you know, it does feel really nourishing, and it gives you back energy, and it feels really community as well, because there is such a cool community with it. So, and it feels like, yeah, your hand is being held. So I think that's just like a wee, personal plug for this. And like, if you're like Jamie and feeling like, how is this any different?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good summary of that, that it's, you know, like those things that you might have experienced in the past, it's like, we're not like that at all. Like, and I hope that that comes through the podcast. I think that literally we are exactly like what we are on the podcast. Yeah. Like we are here to support you. We're here to chat and find something that works, find a way to work that works for you. We're not like, oh, well, you just need to try harder. We're like, ah, okay, that's interesting. Right, let's try this. Or tell me more about that. I need to figure out how we could make that work for you in a different way.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely our ethos and the way that we operate. So I would just say, give it a try. Jump in. Like, at least, you know, jump in, do the questionnaire, find out what your PCOS drivers are.
That's completely free. Yeah,
absolutely free. You'll get a summary of what's driving your PCOS and what we're going to be working on in Ovi. And then you can sign up to Ovi. It is no more than $1 a day, no matter like where you are in the world. It's in different currencies as well. So, and the cheapest option, so if you sign up for longer, then it's even less than 50 cents a day. So give it a try, and then we look forward to seeing you in there.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Now stand by for our disclaimer. The information contained in this podcast has been prepared for the purpose of providing information, including about the PCOS Nutritionist products and services, and is designed to support clients' overall wellness. It is not intended to provide medical advice or designed to rectify, treat, or cure any specific medical conditions or diseases. Nothing stated or shared in our podcast is intended to be and must not be taken to be medical advice. Please seek the advice of professionals as appropriate regarding the evaluation of any specific information, opinion, advice, or content contained in our podcast.